Now that brings us to chapter 2. And we have here in chapters 2 and 3 the possession of Jesus Christ, that is the church which is his body, the church which he loved and gave himself for, and the believers in it which the Father gave to him. And he thanked the Father in the Lord's Prayer, John 17, for that. We are dealing with seven churches that will cover all of the churches, and we'll see that. And after chapter 3, the church is conspicuous by its absence. Up to chapter 4, the church has been mentioned 19 times. But from chapter 4 through chapter 20, the great white throne judgment, the church is not mentioned one time. The normal reaction is to inquire as to the destination and location of the church during this period. It's sure not in the world. It's been removed from the world. Now, these seven letters, they have a threefold interpretation and application. First of all, they have a contemporary meaning. That is, they had a direct message to the local churches of John's day. And I intend to take you in these next few studies that we have to the location of these seven churches. I've been to them several times now, and I want to go again and again and again, because it's always been a thrill to me to visit these, to see, and I think you get closer to the Bible visiting these seven churches than you do even walking through the land of Israel. And there was a message which is obvious when you see the ruins of those churches, that John was writing to local churches that he knew all about. As Sir William Ramsay said, the man who wrote these seven letters to seven churches, he had been there and he knew the local condition. Now, there is a second meaning, and that is known as the composite. Each one is a composite picture of the church. In other words, there is something that is applicable to all churches in all ages in each message to each individual church. When you read the message to the church in Pergamum, you can get a message there for your church and for yourself personally. That's the composite message that is there. And then there is a third interpretation and application, and that's the one I'm going to emphasize. And that's the chronological. There's first the contemporary, second the composite, third the chronological. And here you are given the panoramic history of the church. It's given in these seven letters from Pentecost to the Parousia, from the upper room to the upper air. There are seven distinct periods of church history. And apparently we are in the last one today, and that of Laodicea. Or we're pretty close to it. Ephesus represents the apostolic church, the church at its best. That's the first one. Laodicea, the last church, represents the apostate church, all the way from the apostolic to the apostate. And this prophetic picture is largely fulfilled and is now church history. And that makes it extremely remarkable, by the way. Now, the Lord will follow a well-defined and definite format in addressing each church. And that's the reason the book of Revelation is a rather simple book, because of the fact that there is laid down for us in this book the best organized material that you'll find in any book of the Bible. There's no book of the Bible that is organized as this book is. And he'll follow a very definite format. Now, we said last time we were going to call attention to the well-defined and the definite format that the Lord Jesus used in each one of these letters to the seven churches. First of all, there was some feature of the glorified Christ, which we saw in chapter 1, that was lifted from the vision in that chapter, and it was emphasized in addressing each church. And a particular thing was emphasized for a particular purpose, of course. And then the second thing that's noticeable, the letters are addressed to the angel of each church. And as we said, the angel, we believe, is just a human messenger and was, I believe, what we would call the pastor of the church today. and I'm going to stick by it. I love to hear a pastor call an angel, because I've heard him call everything else. Now, the third thing, he begins by stating to each, I know thy works. Now, there's been some question about a couple of these letters. The fourth thing, he first gives a word of commendation, and then he gives a word of condemnation. That is his method. I think the exception should be noted. There is no word of condemnation to Smyrna or Philadelphia. Smyrna was the martyr church, and he's not about to condemn that church. And Philadelphia was the missionary church that's getting out the word of God, and he didn't condemn it. There is no word of commendation for Laodicea. That is the apostate church. And then the fifth thing we call your attention to is this. Each letter concludes with the warning. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. This makes this, therefore, a tremendous letter, a tremendous message, by the way.